Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Atlas of Finance Mapping, The Global Story of Money is a nonfiction work by geographer Darius Wojcik that explains finance through maps, graphics, and historical analysis. Rather than treating money as an abstract system of prices and instruments, the book presents finance as something shaped by place, power, institutions, and technological change. It covers roughly 5,000 years of financial history, moving from early monetary practices in the ancient world to modern developments such as high-frequency trading and cryptocurrency. The book is designed as a visually rich atlas, so its purpose is not only to inform but also to make a difficult subject legible to a broad audience. By combining geography, economics, history, and design, it shows how financial systems emerge, spread, and produce uneven outcomes across regions and social groups. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, finance as a geographically rooted system, not an abstract flow of capital. A central argument of the book is that finance cannot be understood properly if it is treated as placeless or purely mathematical. Wojcik presents financial activity as deeply tied to geography, meaning that markets, institutions, and centers of power are always located somewhere and shaped by local conditions. This perspective helps explain why financial hubs cluster in certain cities, why regulatory regimes differ across countries, and why global capital does not move evenly across space. The Atlas format reinforces this idea by using maps to make spatial concentration visible. Instead of seeing finance as a uniform global network, readers see hierarchies, corridors, and gaps. That matters because geography helps explain access, influence, and vulnerability. A place-based view also reveals that financial systems are not neutral infrastructures. They reflect political choices, historical legacies, and institutional advantage. The book therefore challenges any simplified picture of finance as an efficient, borderless machine and replaces it with a more realistic account of uneven spatial organization. Secondly, a long historical arc from ancient record-keeping to digital finance, the book places modern finance inside a very long historical timeline, which is one of its most distinctive features. It begins with early monetary and accounting practices in ancient civilizations and traces the evolution of money over millennia. This matters because many features of today's financial world have roots in older methods of record-keeping, exchange, and state formation. The early use of writing in Mesopotamia, the spread of coinage, and the later development of paper money all illustrate that finance has always depended on institutions and technologies that make trust and exchange possible. By extending the story into the present, the book connects these origins to contemporary systems such as electronic markets, algorithmic trading, cryptocurrencies, and global investment networks. The historical method prevents finance from appearing as a sudden modern invention. Instead, it becomes visible as a cumulative social technology that has changed form while preserving certain structural logics, such as the need for standardization, credit, and coordination. This long view gives readers a stronger sense of continuity and disruption than a typical finance book focused only on current markets. Thirdly, visual explanation as a method for making finance intelligible. The book is notable not just for what it says, but for how it says it. Its use of maps, graphics, and infographics is central to its method, because finance is often difficult to grasp through text alone. Financial systems involve scale, movement, hierarchy, and networked relationships, all of which are easier to understand visually than through abstract description. The Atlas format allows readers to compare regions, identify concentrations of power, and follow the movement of capital across time and space. This is especially useful for topics such as financial centers, investment flows, instability, and technological diffusion. The visual approach also lowers the barrier to entry for non-specialists, making the book accessible without oversimplifying the subject. At the same time, it serves an analytical purpose. Visualization reveals patterns that may be hidden in standard prose explanations. The book therefore uses design as part of argumentation, not merely decoration. In doing so, it demonstrates that visual scholarship can deepen understanding of finance by exposing relationships that are otherwise hard to see. Fourthly, the social and political consequences of money and credit. Wojcik does not present finance as a purely technical field. The book repeatedly shows that financial systems are bound up with inequality, exploitation, and political power. One of its important contributions is to connect financial wealth with historical injustice, including the role of slavery-generated wealth in building institutions in places such as Glasgow. This kind of analysis broadens the meaning of finance by showing that accumulated capital often has social origins that are rarely acknowledged in standard financial narratives. The book also highlights the uneven development produced by finance, where some regions and groups benefit from investment, innovation, and access to credit, while others face exclusion or instability. This perspective is important because it links money to broader questions of distribution and legitimacy. Finance is shown not only as a mechanism for growth, but also as a system that can intensify social divisions. By placing these consequences within a historical and geographical framework, the book encourages readers to think about accountability, memory, and the ethics of financial power rather than treating finance as politically neutral. Lastly, regulation, innovation, and the unstable future of global finance. Another major theme is the tension between finance as a driver of innovation and finance as a source of instability. The book recognizes that credit, investment, and financial technology have played key roles in globalization, urban development, and economic change. At the same time, it emphasizes recurring problems such as bubbles, crises, and market error. This balance is important because it avoids both celebration and condemnation. Instead, finance is treated as a powerful social technology whose outcomes depend on governance, incentives, and institutional design. The book also looks forward by addressing high-frequency trading, cryptocurrency, AI, and other technological changes that are reshaping finance. Rather than assuming these tools automatically improve efficiency, it stresses that new technologies often amplify existing uncertainties and power imbalances. The implication is that regulation matters not just as a constraint, but as a framework for directing finance toward broader social benefit. This makes the book especially relevant for readers interested in policy, because it connects historical insight with practical questions about how financial systems can be made more stable, transparent, and accountable. In conclusion, Atlas of Finance is best suited for readers who want to understand money as more than a set of prices, products, or market charts. Students and scholars in geography, economics, history, and political economy will find a strong interdisciplinary framework, while policymakers and informed general readers will benefit from its clear visual structure and broad historical scope. The book is especially useful for anyone trying to make sense of why finance concentrates in certain places, why crises recur, and how financial systems are tied to inequality and institutional power. What distinguishes it from most books in the genre is its atlas format. It does not merely describe finance, it maps it. That design choice makes spatial patterns, historical change, and global interconnection easier to see and compare. It also gives the book an unusually accessible entry point into a subject that is often presented as technical and opaque. In combining scholarship with visual explanation, the book offers both intellectual depth and practical orientation, making it a rare reference for understanding the geography and history of global money. If you would like to support Darius Wojcik, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.